Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, November 15th, recording at 9:31 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I had to spend an uncomfortably long portion of the day away from my desk. Tedious, but life's realities encroaching. But I've been here long enough to get a good impression on these markets in here today, and also to produce some copy for you in addition to what Owen provided. Now, let's take these stock markets. My best case scenario really has been that we would see the October lows hold, and that stock markets would rally through the end of the year and into the first quarter of 2006. Thereafter, I do expect trouble, and I've described this as sort of an aging bull's last charge. Now, there's no doubt that in the last few weeks that the bulls, well, they really have belonged to the bulls, because we've seen some powerful rallies by stock markets. And there's no evidence that strength, that new renewed demand, is over, although we certainly are seeing a pause in here at the moment, which hardly surprising given the recent gains that we would see a pause and consolidation in line with the best case scenario. But having a look through the charts, there's no doubt that some indices are showing what could easily be preliminary top formation characteristics. And there are some pretty important indices among that group. I mean, two that spring to mind immediately are Singapore and New Zealand. And you might say, well, those are small markets. Those really aren't all that important. Well, they've been leaders here for much of this excellent rally, particularly New Zealand. This excellent rally that we saw from March 2003 onwards. Now, offsetting that somewhat is that we've had a considerably stronger performance by some of the woefully lagging U.S. indices recently. The NASDAQ 100 is a good example of that. The Dow has surged back up to its highs that it was seeing in June and July. Those are quite quite important moves overall. Certainly, if we think in terms of the Wall Street leash effect. But again, I'd rather err on the cautious side than err on the side of being too optimistic. Have a look through the stock market indices, and not just the ones that might be within your immediate sphere of interest, because we are seeing some action that really does look in quite different from what we had seen previously. Certainly not in all of them, but in a few of them. So I think there's no grounds for complacency here in these markets, and then you get action such as we saw today. This really should have been a chart of the day in here. It was so important, but we don't usually do much on the individual shares unless it's something that's in a personal portfolio, which then would be relevant to a number of investors. But Vodafone in the UK got absolutely hammered today, having come out with some results which didn't seem all that bad on the surface, but people were concerned about the earnings, future earnings. And, you know, Vodafone, well, I'm a Vodafone user. My goodness, the bills are big enough. I'm always astonished at this, but I wind up thinking this can't last, you know. We're going to see margin compression here. I know I've mentioned this before, and I think it is a very important story. Those of you who have an interest in fundamental analysis, and I'm sure most of you do, that one of the themes that I have mentioned in here is that in assessing companies, you really do want to be focusing, I think, more terms of your own portfolios on companies that have scope for inflation in earnings. In other words, they've got pricing power. They can raise prices or maintain prices. And margin compression, the opposite of that, would apply to any industries where ruthless competition due to globalization, or ruthless is a hyperbole, very tough competition due to globalization stands to compress margins. Now, that's really happening with the entire Chinese manufacturing sector, but few of us, if any, have any investments, big investments tied up in that in terms of stock market portfolios. But if you take that whole telecoms area and big company like Vodafone, I mean, I will be absolutely astonished if the march of technology doesn't create a situation where Vodafone really does have to lower those charges, and thus creating margin compression for the company. Now, will there be other things in the pipeline that more than offset that and provide greater earnings? Well, I'm no telecoms analyst, and there's certainly plenty of interesting and exciting things in the pipeline. That's always the case. But I'll stick to my point. In terms of equity performance in here, any area where you suspect there may be profit margin compression, a big question mark over that. Those shares really, really do have to be beaten down to look all that attractive. And the ones that I like that I think can go on, and sure, they'll be volatile from time to time, but we'll score the best overall performances are those where we can look for inflation and earnings, meaning companies that can raise prices. Rio Tinto Zinc springs to just Rio Tinto now, sorry about that. But Rio Tinto, amazing. You know, you had that huge, 71% increase in the iron ore earlier this year. They've got a virtual monopoly on this, along with two other companies. So a lot of these resources producers are in just that position. Okay, but having said that, what about the oil companies? We're still in this medium-term correction here, and I don't see any evidence that it's over. Crude oil today, you know, it had a rallied about half a dollar and then came off, closed down on the day, 57 for the current after-hours trading for that NYME contract. And it's making people more and more bearish. You know what my view on this is, that we will, worst case scenario is to see a very lengthy consolidation, which could last a year and a half, even longer, before we eventually see the whole bull trend resumed. And of course, that's worst case. Best case in terms of the, I'm talking now best case in terms of the oil companies, would be some sort of production disruption, always possible. More likely, though, we will see some considerably colder weather, which sparks quite a clear upward dynamic and strong technical rally in the sector. That'll be easy to see when it occurs, because the decline is so orderly. Now, if that happens, or when that happens, it will also be a factor in terms of how stock markets generally are performing, because I think that one of the tailwinds behind the rally that we've seen in recent weeks has unquestionably been the decline in energy prices. And to have that turn from a tailwind back into a headwind at a time when the bull is aged and tiring in here, and vulnerable to some frights in 2006, if not sooner, we want to be alert to that possibility and that change. So we'll watch that, watching for you, Owen and I, that oil price every single day, and I'm sure you're paying plenty of attention to it as well. So these are some of the factors here that that could well be important overall. As far as oil coming down in this retreating phase, I'm quite happy to hang in there with my Investec Global Energy Fund. That's a core position. I'm not going to disturb that. I'm not thinking in terms of so much of the next year and a half. I suspect I'll make money over that period, make additional money over that period. I'm really, though, thinking in terms of a longer-term move on the upside. I think the energy story remains compelling. I think all the resources stories remain compelling. Now, one factor that, you know, I've talked so much about a new inflationary cycle that I believe that we have entered, that this is in its early insidious stages, but you just see all the money printing that's taken place. You've seen the huge explosion in M3 in the U.S. that they're still updating that chart for a while longer yet, and there's an item on the website, albeit foam-flecked, but nevertheless of interest, talking about the plunge protection team. But I digress. The weakness in oil can only have a moderating effect on some of the inflation pressures that we've seen, have a short-term moderating effect on the inflation pressures. Now, that may well be a bit of a headwind for the precious metals in coming months, but again, that remains a hugely promising bull story for the long term. Okay, what about today's action in here? Stock market's just quiet. Now, the rallies are off the boil. Mostly looks like consolidation activity, but I've already mentioned, though, that some of the patterns show preliminary top formation characteristics. Elsewhere today, government bonds a bit firmer in here. They have lost downward momentum in terms of bond futures prices. And currencies, the dollar was doing quite well and then coughed up those gains, actually a little bit on the minus side in here today. Read Dan Ryan's comments, which I very much appreciated. And precious metals, a quiet day in here. We're getting a little bit of a pullback in consolidation in the palladium and in the platinum. They really had been phenomenally strong recently and are unwinding a short-term overbought position. We could see a little bit further correction there, but these metals aren't going to stay down for very long. And silver, which was up in yesterday, I think deck silver at any rate, I think it got up to I think it was 786, but then fell back and today dipped down to 770 at one stage, but it's right back up here at 779. So again, I emphasize this point, I don't think that these are going to go down or stay down for very long, and there is still plenty of upside potential remaining, and I wouldn't be surprised to, dollar's creating a headwind, further dollar rally in here, but I was about to say I wouldn't be surprised to see some pretty chunky gains here, if not in the very short term, certainly in the medium term, which I'll define as the next few months. And I think that's pretty much it, folks. The very best to all of you.